What's up, everyone? Welcome into another edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. It's great to have you guys here with us this week. My name is Dan Mott, and I am your host this week, and we welcome in Hub Arkish, who is here with us in studio, and our Pro Football Weekly Chicago Bears beat writer, Bob Laguerre. It's great to have you guys with us. And guys, we're going to jump right into some big news this week. Of course, we're talking about the national anthem policy, which the league owners passed at Wednesday's owners' meetings in Atlanta. Guys, how does this affect the Chicago Bears?
It's interesting. This team, I'm not sure it affects them at all because, A, they've had nobody protesting. They stood with, I believe, arms linked for a week or two and you know, certainly showed solidarity. But actually, they're very fortunate to have an extremely bright and thoughtful young man in Sam Acho as their player rep, who probably does as much work in the community as any player in the NFL, and asked as the player rep at practice on Wednesday, shortly after the new policy was announced. You know, his point was, hey, you know, so what? It's time to move on. You know, this isn't about, you know, protesting during the anthem. It's about making things better in relation to the issues that we're protesting, and he went into a fairly long dissertation on things that he and his teammates do in the community and the help and support that they get from the owner, George McCaskey. So while it is a big hot button national issue right now, I suppose it's a political issue as well as a football issue. I'm not sure that it has much relevance to where the Chicago Bears are at right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, Sam Acho was tremendously well spoken on the topic. And I think the most pertinent thing he said was that we've succeeded in raising awareness. We've done that. Okay, now what? Where does it go from here? We don't necessarily need to continue. Players don't need to continue to protest during the national anthem. But they've raised awareness. They've made people aware of this, that it is a problem. And now where do we go from here? Where do we take it from here? It's probably, and I think he hinted that, it's got to be done. It's got to be things off the field. Okay, they've taken this as far as they can take it. Now it's time to take the next step and go from there. And I think, you know, as Hub mentioned, that they couldn't have a more well-spoken representative than Sam Acho. And I think he did a great job of conveying what the team felt last year and probably the way they feel going forward.
Well, guys, this was week two of Bears OTA practices, and really, what was the biggest takeaways that we saw out there this week?
Well, again, it's too early to say too much about the offense or how it's going to operate or who's going to be featured. One thing I have noticed is that things tend to operate more quickly. The ball comes out quicker in most cases. Now, I will say, and Mark Helfrich kind of hinted at this when he spoke after Wednesday's practice, Trubisky had some bad moments. Had moments where he held the ball too long, which in most cases are going to wind up as sacks in the regular season. But I think when the offense is running and when everybody's on the same page, it's a lot quicker and it appears to be a lot more efficient than what we saw from the Bears last season. That's the biggest thing I noticed.
My biggest takeaway was the Wednesday of this week was really the first extended conversation I'd been able to have with Mark Helfrich. There's not a lot of focus on him because Matt Nagy is not only an offensive coach, but has said he is going to be the play caller, at least when they get started here. And yet Helfrich is the offensive coordinator. That is a significant responsibility in the NFL. He's getting a big paycheck for it. And I wasn't sure what kind of guy he was, what his temperament was like, how he's going to be like to communicate with. And I came away very impressed. He's very comfortable with the media. He's obviously extremely knowledgeable. But more than that, I love the way that he communicated to us. And being a good coach is all about communication. And as well as he handled the media on Wednesday, my guess is he's going to do a pretty good job of teaching his players.
Yeah, it was kind of refreshing to hear him talk. Not at all the egomaniacal guy you sometimes see, and I'm thinking Mike March when I say that, but definitely seems to communicate well. And as you said, they didn't bring this guy in to be a rubber stamp. They brought him in because he's an idea guy, and he will have an influence on the offense. I don't think at this point there is any influence on the offense from Mark Helfrich. I think it's too early in the process. I think once they've got the playbook, assimilated, then I think you're going to see some Markelle Perkinsel and some tweaking of things and some different things they can do off of base plays in the offense. But again, like with most things, too early to really say what his influence will be, but I think it's safe to assume that he will have some influence.
Well, guys, it's clear that Mitch Trubisky is completely at ease in this new role, and I want to talk for a few minutes about Mitch Trubisky's leadership. What are some of the things that you guys are seeing, especially as he was able to meet with the media this week?
I am impressed by Mitch Trubisky. Let me just say it that way. Last year, following the draft, I had no problem with drafting him at number three. I thought the trade was ridiculous. I still think that. I think that it did cost the Bears more than they had to spend. I don't agree with the theory that many people espouse that if he becomes a Pro Bowl quarterback, you won't care. I will always care. If you overpaid, you overpaid. But that's old news. It doesn't do us any good. What I think is more important is that with 12 NFL starts on top of those 13 North Carolina game tapes, I can now see that this kid has the tools to be an excellent NFL quarterback. I thought he did get better as the season went on. I think the things that the Bears have done to try and support him during the offseason, from the coaching staff down through the roster, have all been positive, Bob. And as we've had these moments to visit with him during the offseason, I've been very impressed with what appears to be a natural tendency towards taking the leadership reins. He doesn't seem to have to work at it. He seems completely comfortable with it. And again, in the limited window we have prior to getting to Bourbon A, he seems to be handling it very well.
Yeah, I think that's the most impressive thing about Mitch Trubisky. He has all the physical tools. As I wrote today, maybe more important than that is the leadership role. And it's not just a situation where he accepts it. I think he welcomes it and relishes it and will thrive in it. He knows everybody's looking at him. All eyes are on him. Teammates are going to follow him. Fans are going to look to him. There's a lot on his shoulders, and I don't think it bothers him. I think in his mind, he knows if he does the right thing, and he knows what the right thing is. If he does that, everything else falls into place, and he's fine with that. He said he's already gotten the sense that people are following him, teammates are following him, even though he's a second-year player, a young guy. You know, there's a lot of young guys on this team, and this is this position naturally comes with a leadership role, but not everybody accepts it. We've definitely seen guys in Chicago who did not necessarily accept the leadership role, reach out to his teammates, make his teammates better, and I think that's what Mitch Trubisky is all about.
Yeah, and when you look at what we're asking him to do right now in terms of beyond the leadership role, everybody wants to know, how do you look at practice? How's it going out there? They are knee-deep in installing this new offense, and under any circumstances, even if you had a veteran quarterback, the work that they're doing right now, it's just about learning. It's like learning to speak a new language, and so when you watch these practices, we're not seeing anything that even vaguely relates to what game conditions are going to look like. They're trying to get to know each other. He's got literally one receiver that he's thrown to before in Josh Bellamy. When you think about it, I know Kevin White was there in training camp, but he was running with the threes in training camp, so he wasn't getting to throw to him all that often. And then he got hurt in the first game in which he wasn't playing. So all of his receivers are new. The offense is new. They're not really even going out there and trying to run the offense or scrimmaging or anything like that. And so when people ask, well, how does he look so far on the field? He looks like everybody else. They're trying to learn. He continues to be a very good athlete. He continues to be having fun out there. He continues to relate well to his teammates. But we're really not going to be able to tell anybody too much more until we've had a week or two in Bourbon A.
Yeah, Hub, I agree 100%. People continue to ask Matt Nagy at every opportunity, how's the offense look to this point? Who knows? Who knows? They're just learning the plays. They're running it against their own defense, and the defense is yards ahead of where the offense is at this point in the season because they have a lot more continuity. So I think, yeah, there's great possibilities. But, as you mentioned, the throwing the new guys, I've been harping on that for a couple months, the fact that of the top five pass receivers projected for this year, Tariq Cohen's the only one he's thrown to in a regular season football game. As you mentioned, Kevin White, Trubisky wasn't the quarterback before he got hurt. And the three new guys, Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel, Allen Robinson, obviously has never thrown a pass to them when it matters. So, yeah, I think there's a lot on his plate. In addition to learning the new offense, learning four or five new receivers that he's never worked with, and I think that's going to require a lot of work, and it's going to be impossible to judge where this offense is at until they play a game that matters, and probably maybe several games after that, because normally in a situation like this, the offense isn't nearly as good on day one as it is in week 10 or in the latter part of the season. So it's going to be a long time before we know how well this offense is going to work in Chicago.
You know, Mitch did have an interesting reaction to one question. I don't remember what the question was, but part of it was the media member pointing out to him that the coaches, Matt Nagy and Mark Helfrich, had already spoken, saying that the defense was clearly ahead of the offense. And he looked up and he said, "Who said that?" And he was clearly bothered by it. Once it was explained to him as to the context, I think, you know, he moved past it. But I love the competitive spirit in this kid. He did not like hearing that at all, even though it's clearly true and the reasons are obvious.
Well, Bob, I know that you had a couple minutes this week to meet with Bears receiver Kevin White, and tell us a little bit about what that exchange was like this week.
Yeah, I was part of that, but I was, as I have been in most recent Kevin White interviews, disinterested and turned off very early on, because and I feel for the guy, because he's been asked the same questions now for 3 years, and he would prefer to just keep his mouth shut and not answer questions and go out and do it on the field, you know, at least for a full season or somewhat close to that. And so he's, as you would expect, very short with his answers. He does it because he has to, because he's required to. He doesn't enjoy it. He'd rather talk about things that he accomplishes on the field, which unfortunately there haven't been very many of those, so we have to talk about these other things. But, you know, Matt Nagy early on said, looked at Kevin White and said, you know, wouldn't it be a great thing if we could take this kid who's had all this bad luck and all these unfortunate incidents and get him to play like everybody thought he could play when he was drafted seventh overall? So he's going to get a chance this year, and the best thing going for him is that Allen Robinson is being brought along slowly, so he will have his opportunities in training camp, probably in the preseason. But he better take advantage of them now, because if not, he won't be a Bear for very much longer.
You know, guys, there was an interesting little byplay during practice, and we are limited in what we're supposed to be reporting from practices in order not to create a competitive disadvantage for the Bears. But I'm pretty sure I'm safe with this one. It was an OTA, and it had nothing to do with the new offense or formations or anything like that. The new wide receiver coach, Mike Furry, is coaching his guys up, and they were running some passing drills, and they were working on a specific route that looked to be about an 18-yard out to the sideline, a square out, and I happen to be standing right there, and Furry is yelling across the field at White, "Now, Kevin, you got to make sure and flatten this route out and push hard off the cut. You got to push hard off the cut and flatten. This isn't one you can round off, because if you're covered, you got to get in front of them," at which point White yelled back across the field, "Hey, Coach, nothing to worry about. I'm never covered," and at which point several of his teammates jumped on him. So he clearly is more vocal and having more fun with his teammates on the field than he is going to be with the media. And I think Bob's point is well taken. You know, the kid's been answering the same questions for 3 years. It's nobody's fault. The media is no more wrong than he is. I mean, you got to ask the questions. But it's not like he's going to have new answers. You know, it is what it is. And so now, until he actually gets in some games and either does or doesn't make some plays, it's kind of the same thing about the question of how does Trubisky look. There's nothing we can tell you. And that we're not going to learn in Bourbonnais. We're not going to find out until we get into the regular season and they're playing for real, and we see if this kid can play at this level and how well he can do it.
Well, yeah, that's the thing I wonder about with Kevin White is he looks great. He looks great in gym shorts, and he looks great in running around on the field. He's in tremendous shape. Pound for pound, he's probably as strong as anybody on the team. But the fact that he's been off the field for so long, the knock on him coming out was he wasn't a great route runner. He was kind of raw in that area, and we need to development. Well, he's been hurt so much and unable to even practice. I don't think he's gotten a heck of a lot better as a route runner. I think he's probably, you know, way ahead of where he was coming out of West Virginia, but I think there's still some room for growth there. And as I said, he'll have his opportunities, and he'll be able to work on that, and he'll be able to show, I think, in the preseason, which will be huge for him, whether he can be a viable component in this offense, because there's a lot of competition for balls in this offense. There's a lot of guys that they can use. a lot of new weapons. So, you know, the ball's in his court, but he's got a long road ahead of him, and he's got a lot of guys to step over to get those catches.
You know, one other point, Bob, and again, I think this is something I'm okay reporting. I'm not going to single anybody out, but it was painfully obvious in the first hour or so of practice. These are about two-hour practices. In the various drills they were running, there were a ton of drop balls out there, and it was certain players more guilty than others. Again, I'm not going to single anybody out. It's early. There's a long way to go. But just the volume of drop passes, and it struck me that, again, this is because this is more about installing the offense, learning the routes. These kids are thinking and not just playing, and so you can't make too much of it. To the casual observer, you know, you might say, whoa, we got a problem here. They're dropping everything that's thrown at them. But I think, again, the focus on learning this new offense and learning the routes and running everything correctly is probably at the root of a lot of that.
Yeah, I think, you know, coaches say it all the time. We want these guys to play fast, to not think, to react. And especially at a skill position like wide receiver, I think that's really more important than almost any other position. And I think that'll help once these guys get going and learn where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to be there. And, we said it's too early to make any judgments at this point. That thing, if it doesn't continue to get better and if it's not a lot better at training camp, then it is cause for concern, but now not so much.
I will say this much, Dan. There is one receiver on the team who has racquetball paddles for hands, and it's going to be curious to see, you know, how that plays out as we get to Bourbon A. Hopefully it'll get better. I'm hoping it was more about thinking and not bad hands.
What about Tariq Cohen's role in this new offense? Hub, I'll start with you. What did you see out of Cohen this week?
Well, and folks, I'm just trying to be honest with you. The reason that we are restricted on what they want us reporting here is that we're not supposed to talk about specific usage of players, specific formations, plays, things like that. I think it's taking themselves a little too seriously. They're worried about competitive factors, but it's their decision to make, and it's what we're bound by. So, you know, Tariq Cohen is an uber-talented young man, and you can see Matt Nagy's eyes light up every time you mention his name. And he's going to be nothing to do with the similarities in their names. It's not the same name. But Tariq Cohen is going to be the Tyreek Hill for this football team, much like Tyreek Hill, his first 2 years in Kansas City with Nagy running that offense, was a jack of all trades. That's what they expect Tariq Cohen to be. Now, he's a running back. Tyreek Hill is a wide receiver by profession. But I think with Cohen, he's going to be even more versatile. They're going to use him in the passing game as much as the running game. I wouldn't be surprised to see him a little bit as a wildcat. They're not going to use the wildcat a lot, but everybody's going to have a couple of those plays. And there clearly are things specifically game planned for him that are being put into this offense. And, you know, what you saw last year was no fluke. This kid's going to get better. He's not going to take a step backwards. So I think he's a perfect piece, if you will, a perfect chess piece for what Matt Nagy wants to do.
How about you, Bob?
Yeah, when I talked to Tariq Cohen, he kind of likened it to backyard football. And you could tell he's as excited to be in this offense as Nagy is to have him. And I think it remains to be seen how he'll be used. But he caught 53 balls last year. I wouldn't be surprised to see him catch more. And I think you'll see him utilized in a lot of different ways. The amazing thing is, everybody was impressed with what Tariq Cohen did last year, and he was hamstrung by that offense because they weren't on the field that much. They didn't get to a lot of things that were in the playbook. This year, if they can maintain ball possession and sustain some drives, they're going to get much deeper into that playbook, and you're going to see much more Tariq Cohen than you did last year.
How about on the defensive side of the ball? We've talked a lot of offense this week, more so because really that's kind of what was put in front of us, and that's those are the guys that we talked to this week, and we really were able to focus on the offensive side of the ball. But what did you see as far as defense goes? Was there anything that stood out on that side of the ball this week?
To me, Kyle Fuller continues to be impressive even in practice. And last year, he had the best season of his career by far. The season before, he never set foot on the field. And so there was a lot of, a lot of questions about him going into last year. And even when the Bears signed him to that deal because the Packers made him an offer as a free agent and the Bears matched, I think the consensus was, yeah, if Kyle Fuller plays the next 4 years like he played in 2017, that's okay. That's not a bad contract. If he doesn't, if he's anything like he was the year before, then it's $56 million that you could have spent a lot better in some other places. But I think just based on what Kyle Fuller did last year and how he's looked this year, I think they're going to get the Kyle Fuller that they got last year, a guy who's a potential Pro Bowl player, and maybe not a guy who's going to get a ton of picks ever, and maybe not make a lot of Pro Bowls, but a guy who can be your number one cornerback in a division that is facing some pretty good quarterbacks week in and week out.
Just a few more minutes here on the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast, and we have Bob Laguerre, our Pro Football Weekly Bears beat writer, on the line. And Bob, what essentially is this team really going to be preparing for in week three of OTAs? What do you think the plan will be for this team as they go into more practices next week?
Well, Dan, job one is clearly installing the offense. The defense is ready to play right now. The defense could go to training camp tomorrow and hit the ground running and be 100% and hitting on all cylinders and every other cliche. The offense is a work in progress, and it's going to be a long work. This is a fairly complicated playbook. It's a new language for all these guys, and a lot of them. Mitch Trubisky's a perfect example. This is his third offense in 3 years. He's a smart guy. He will not have any trouble learning the playbook and learning it well enough to put everybody in the right position. But unless all 11 guys are on the same page, this offense will not function. It will not function the way Matt Nagy expects it to. So that's going to be the focus of everything that they do in the offseason, everything that they do in training camp. The defense is really, you know, they know what Vic Fangio's defense is all about. Most of these guys have been in it for 2 years, a lot of them for 3 years. So it's just fine-tuning and tweaking and trying to work in a couple of new guys, maybe an Aaron Lynch as a pass rusher. Other than that, Roquan Smith will be the opening day inside linebacker with Danny Trevathan, all things going according to plan and barring any injuries. So I think the defense is going to be impressive this year. It was top 10 last year. Guys have talked throughout the offseason as being, you know, top five this year. What's the next step? Next step is top five, and the next step is to get more turnovers. Last year, they were one of the top teams at forcing and recovering fumbles. Still, they've only had 8 interceptions in each of the last 3 years. That's something for this defense to become elite. That has to get better.
All right, Bob, a lot of good stuff to keep our eyes on as the Bears continue their OTA practices next week. That'll do it for this week's edition of the Pro Football Weekly Chicago podcast. We want to thank you all for listening this week, and we hope that you head on over to iTunes and subscribe to this podcast if you've not already done so. You can also subscribe to our other shows, including the Pro Football Weekly podcast, talking all things NFL. As I said, OTAs continue next week, so we'll be bringing the guys back to talk about week three and any new stories coming out of Lake Forest there. We want to thank you all for checking us out this week, and a big thanks to Hub Arkish and Bob Laguerre once again for joining us on this week's show. Also, a big thanks to you guys, the listeners. We thank you for joining us each week, and once again for subscribing to us. Also, a big thanks to Umphreys McGee, who you can hear at the beginning and end of our shows each week. We want to thank them for the use of our theme song, Glory, which can be found on UM Live, so go and download that if you enjoy listening to that track each week. Once again, I'm Dan Mott for Hub Arkish and Bob Laguerre. We want to thank you once again for listening, and have a great week, everybody.